Loved one, if you don't believe the Word of God, I mean, if you don't know the Word of God, believe the Word of God. Believe the Word of God's inspired, that it's living, that it's sure, that it's a light, it's a lamp in a dark world. Well, who are you going to believe? I mean, what are you going to turn to? You going to turn to man?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of 2 Peter with part two of the message, A Lamp in a Dark World. So let's listen in.
I'm not gullible. I didn't just fall off a turnip wagon. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say. No, I mean, it drives me crazy. See, it's the blind leading the blind. Listen, if you don't think we live in a dark, dry, dirty, miserable world, we live in a time, we're in a revolution, loved one, against reality in our culture. Today's people, they don't know what marriage is anymore. Do you understand? Marriage has been redefined. They don't know what marriage is. But today, with our gender, our dysphoria, boys don't know if they're boys. Girls don't know if they're girls. Do you understand how it's an insane time? The only remedy in any generation for believers, loved one, the only remedy for darkness is the living Word of God, is the sure Word of God. Because the Word of God is a light. And if a Christian, if you're not going to get into God's Word, if you're going to neglect God's Word, which is light, there's a possibility you might hang out with darkness or live in darkness and not really even know it, loved one. The Bible is clear. Psalm 119, 105 says, Your Word, O God, is a lamp to my feet. That means you have to have some light to see where you're going. It says, not only that, it's a light to my path. Listen, we live in a dark world where darkness is loved. Read John chapter 3, verses 18 and following. You'll see what I mean. They don't know they love darkness. They don't know that they're comfortable in darkness, but they don't know it because they're not saved, loved one. And it's so dangerous. Listen, God's Word is a lamp. God's Word, does it ever go out of style? No, does it ever even leave? Will it ever lead you astray? Will it ever change? No, never. Loved one, without God's Word in your life, there is no light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, meaning I am the only source of illumination for every man in every generation. I am, no one else. I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is a divine promise from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. Listen, there is no other person in the entire world, universe, that can get any person out of darkness. There's no method. There's no way. There's only one person. His name is Jesus. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, man, I thank God that he called me out of that. Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and delivered us over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We've been rescued from the power of darkness. Darkness has power. See, we used to be darkness and we didn't even know it. Ephesians 5:8, for we were once darkness, but now light, children of light. And then he says, walk as children of light. That's who we are. We're not in the dark, loved one. And God's Word is light. And look what he says here that we should do now. How long do we want to keep the light of God's Word in our life, the sure Word? He says, watch this. He says, you do well to take heed or pay attention to the living Word of God, okay, as a light that shines in a dark, dirty place. How long? Until, that's a very important word, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That day that's going to dawn is yet future. One day it's all going to be gone. Amen? And the eternal day is coming. Jesus is coming. He is the, it says, the morning star, the light bearer, if you will, the coming of our Lord. If you study out the book of Revelation, in chapter 22:16, it says, I, Jesus, that's how it starts off. He's speaking, I, Jesus. You'll find that phrase nowhere else in the entire New Testament. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify or to bear witness to you these things in the churches. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. In other words, I'm your king. I come from the line of Judah. I come from David. He's the offspring, but I created David. Amen? You understand? He says, and I am the bright and morning star. One day, there's a whole new world that's going to be coming. Now, this speaks of the second coming, not the rapture, okay? Boy, I tell you, until that day, what does he say to do? Peter says, listen, you've got to let the light of God's word light up your heart. You've got to get into God's word and let that light up your life so you don't walk in darkness. God's word is light and it does something. Listen to the scripture, Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of your words gives light. How does that happen? As you study the word of God, the living word of God, the Holy Spirit makes it alive in your heart. And when it comes alive in your heart, it's living. And when it becomes living, it becomes sure in your life. Amen? And then after it becomes sure, loved one, it lights up your life. You know it's true. And that is the word of God. The word of God is living. The word of God is sure. The word of God is light. Why? Because of its origin. Because of its source. Look at the next verse, verse 20. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, the written word, Scripture, is of any private interpretation. The word private means of one's own interpretation, okay? Meaning it did not originate in that person's mind or heart, all right? Now, Peter here, that word where it says interpretation is really a poor translation, really, because it makes you feel in a way that Peter's trying to teach you how to interpret God's word. That's not what he's saying, though. He's telling you it's not about interpretation here. It's about how it originated, and that it originated by divine inspiration from God, not from man. Look at 21. He says, for prophecy never, meaning the prophecy that's in recorded scripture, never came by the will of man. All right, well, then how did it come? Well, he says, but holy men of God, what did they do? They spoke, or literally spoke or wrote, okay, how did they do it? As they were moved by how? Their intellect? Their intelligence? No, by the Holy Spirit. That word moved is a very, very important word, loved one. It literally is a graphic picture in the Greek, okay? It's a picture of the wind blowing, powerfully blowing at a ship, and the sail of a ship. And it's moving the ship and directing the ship, if you will. It's controlling it, but the wind is being controlled by the wind. Now, that's exactly what's happening here, is the Holy Spirit worked through the people who penned the Word of God. Now, with all that being said, divine inspiration means the Scriptures are God-breathed. It didn't come from men. It didn't come from the intellect of man. It didn't come from the will of man. It came from God. I think that every Christian should literally tremble at the unbelievable truth of the living Word of God. Sometimes when I study it, I'm blown away by it. I'm in awe. You know, like, for example, when we studied out, what was it, a couple of years back, whenever we do our Palm Sunday message or whatnot, you know, right before Resurrection Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we call it Palm Sunday. You know, if you've ever been here on a Palm Sunday message, you know that that is a powerful scriptures about how all that came about. Jesus entered Jerusalem, remember? How did he enter Jerusalem on that day? He waited. He finally came in. And when he came in, well, was he riding a horse? Was he driving a Porsche? No, he was on a donkey. Why? Because 550 years before Jesus ever entered into Jerusalem, 550 years, man. Zechariah, he told us something from chapter 9, verse 9. Let me read it to you. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, just having salvation, lowly, riding on a donkey." 550 years before Jesus entered Jerusalem. Now, when you study out then, you put that with Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Those are some of the greatest predictive prophecies ever written in the Word of God. It's almost impossible to even put your head around it. And the reason I say that, it tells us in Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27, it tells us that the Messiah, he says he is going to enter Jerusalem, but he is going to enter Jerusalem on only one day, and it had to be the exact day and the exact year, okay? And that happened, the exact day was a Sunday, okay? It tells us that. Not Monday, not Tuesday, it had to be Sunday. Now, it also had to be only one city in all of the earth, and that would be Jerusalem. And it could only be on one animal, and that was a donkey. And it had to come in and ride into the exact people, which was the Jewish people, Israel. He's in Jerusalem. But it could only be done out of only one person during that time in the entire world, only one man. Daniel prophesied that. And his name was Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. He's the Messiah. That is how living and how sure and how certain the Word of God is. Amen? Boy, it should blow us all away. How about Hebrews 1:1? God, who at various times in various ways spake in times past, meaning the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. He spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Did you know that if you study out how many times God spoke in the Bible, did you know there are 5,000 times God said, "It was thus saith the Lord," or "the word of the Lord came to me," over 5,000 times. Man, that blows me away. And it says, "Who God who spoke various times, various ways, spake in these last days through the fathers," and said, "in these last days has spoken to us by his Son," meaning Jesus Christ. What does various times mean? It means in the Old Covenant that for 1,500 years, there was a progressive revelation from God to the prophets, okay? So you have 39 books of the Bible. They didn't all happen at one time. So in various ways and times, he spoke to the prophets and they penned it, put it down. But it came from God. It didn't come from man. But then it says he did it also not in various times, but various ways. God spoke in different ways. How did God speak to Moses? Out of a burning bush. How'd you like that to happen? Huh? I mean, you know, who's going to win the Cowboy game tonight? No, I'm just... So, did God use angels? Did he use a burning bush? Did he use a still, small voice? Did he use an audible voice? Yes. See, God speaks, and he can speak. He can do it any way he wants to. How many prophets do you think were even in the Old Testament? 63. Did you know that King David was a prophet? Let me give you what he said in 2 Samuel 23:1. "Now these are the last words of David. Thus saith David, the son of Jesse. Thus saith the man raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob." Here it comes. "The sweet psalmist of Israel." Listen carefully now. David says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me," or spoke through me. It wasn't my words. It was God's words. He says, "and his word was on my tongue." God says, the Spirit placed it there. I can't believe it. In other words, was that divine inspiration? Absolutely. How about the Apostle Paul? He says in 1 Corinthians 2:13, "These things we also speak now, but not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." The problem today, and I say this lovingly, loved one, if you don't believe the Word of God, I mean, if you don't know the Word of God, believe the Word of God. Believe the Word of God's inspired, that it's living, that it's sure, that it's a light, it's a lamp in a dark world. Well, who are you going to believe? I mean, what are you going to turn to? You going to turn to man? Hello? I mean, everything that man says today, I don't care who they are, Christian or not, you have to filter it through the Word of the living God. You got to make sure, is this guy telling me the truth? But you don't have to do that with God's Word. You don't have to filter God's word. You don't have to. God can't lie. Amen? That's why it says in 2 Timothy, remember what Paul writes? He writes from prison. He goes in 3:16 of 2 Timothy, he says, listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, is God-breathed. Not some of it, all of it. Now listen to me. When you say that God's Word is inspired, I'm talking about the original writings, the original manuscripts. Amen? Because man can take this and make some errors, and they did. You follow me? Okay, but in the original manuscripts, there's not one error. It's all absolute perfect truth, loved one, because it's all inspired by God in the original manuscripts. Now listen, it doesn't mean that when God, the Holy Spirit, moved on those who penned, like Peter didn't become all of a sudden a robot, you know, and he's having visions and all of a sudden he sees the words. No. God uses personalities, a fisherman or a tax collector, it doesn't matter. He works through them, but he puts down every word is the word intended by God, even though they don't realize it. Does that make sense? Because the Holy Spirit does it all. So they pen only, whether they knew it or not, I don't know. But they only pen what God intended them to pen, the very word, and they did so without one error. God's word is infallible. Do you understand? The original manuscripts, loved one. Oh, listen, the word of God. The Bible doesn't contain the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. And this is God's word from heaven, his direct word to us. It is his word to us. Jesus himself testified. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word, O God, is truth." Do you know all the Christians in the world? Do you know that out of all of them, one of the polls that I read said less than 30% will ever read the entire Bible? Not only that, it gets worse. You ready for this one? The fact is, it says over 82% of Christian Americans only read their Bibles on Sundays while in church. That's not true of us, is it? Don't let that be true of us. Amen? I mean, if I thought that about this church, it would break my heart. It can't be true. No, I know you love the Lord and you love the Word. Amen? The Bible is the most unique book, 66 books, in the entire universe. It's the only book in the universe that has the ability to satisfy the needs and save people in every generation. Amen? There's no other book that can do that. We have the only book that came from God the Father to earth for us. No other religion in the world can say that except Christianity. We have that book. It's with us right this minute. Like Paul penned from prison again, 2 Timothy 3:16. For all Scripture, all the Word of God in the inspired writings, they are given by inspiration of God. They're God-breathed. They're profitable for doctrine. In other words, what's right in this life. They're profitable for reproof. What's not right in this life? It says for correction, instruction in righteousness. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As you've heard me teach so many times, if you don't know God's Word, you're not thoroughly equipped. If you don't know God's Word, you're not complete. And there's so many troubled Christians today, it breaks my heart. They love the Lord, they're saved, but they've never really gotten into God's Word. And you know, they live in a time they need answers. And I don't know about you, but our world, is it getting dark? Dark, dark? Yes, it is. And you know what? Christians need answers, but we have answers. Amen? We have them right here in front of us. My old friend, I haven't seen him in years, but he used to come here every New Year's. His name was Dr. David Hocking. David Hocking said this. He says, "Do you believe that the Bible is a complete and direct and final revelation from God, totally sufficient for all matters of faith and practice and totally without error in the original manuscripts?" And then he says, "The majority of Christians do not believe what I just said." That is a sad world. So many troubled Christians, and they have the inspired, living, sure lamp of God right there in front of them, and they're seeking for answers as they live, but there's a problem. Christians today, they run from church to church. They want a word from God, but they don't want the Word of God. That's a sad thing. Christians going from church to church today, wandering from church to church, and they don't realize, many of them, and I say this lovingly, they don't know that they're spiritually starving. They're starving, loved one. Listen, the churches in America, usually, they're doing well, and they can offer many wonderful things. Amen? But loved one, listen, if they don't teach the whole counsel of God, 66 books of the Bible, if they don't teach that, what does it matter what they have? Do you understand? You can have the biggest church in Fort Worth, but the fact, if you don't teach the whole counsel of God, what are you teaching? What are you giving your sheep? Amen? That's very important. No Christian will ever grow fully to spiritual maturity if they just live on topical sermons or feel-good sermons or comfortable sermons or easy believism or any of those things. The Bible is very clear. Jesus told us exactly what we must do. He said in Matthew 4:4 about the Word of God, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by, say it, every, how many words? Every word of God. That's not a few, the whole Bible, loved one. That's so important. Now listen, I've been in the ministry for over 40 years, been here with you for well over 30 some odd years. And I know that when I was young, and probably even now that I'm old, I know that in my ministry that I probably have failed in many things. But I can assure you of one thing. I have not failed when I am in this pulpit to declare unto you the entire counsel of God, all 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. That's what we do at Calvary. And I thank God that I know I'm faithful in that area. And let me tell you something, loved one. Satan has a strategy, as we're going to learn. But he has a strategy for the church. You see, if persecution doesn't wipe out the church, and he's going, okay, what do we do now? Well, if you can't beat them, you got to join them. Amen? So what he does, when we get into chapter 2, he joins the church. But more than that, now listen, he has a strategy for every church, but especially to get in the false teachers. It's called savage wolves. Remember Paul, he said, after my departure in Acts chapter 20, he says, oh, to the Ephesian elders, listen, after my departure, he said, savage wolves are going to come in among you, making disciples after themselves, meaning false teachers, loved one. And so listen, he has a strategy, those savage wolves. So 2 Peter, the danger is within the false teachers. False teachers come to you in sheep's clothing. They're a wolf. And if you don't know the Word of God, you listen to them and you think that you're being fed. But really, you're being fed upon. They come to fleece the sheep, not feed the sheep. Listen, Satan knows that the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, is the basis for all transformation for the Christian life and spiritual maturity. Amen? He knows those things. Listen, you can't grow without God's Word. Romans 12:2, are we to be transformed by the renewing of our minds? Yes. 1 Peter, what, chapter 2, verse 2, desire the sincere, pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Satan knows if you're not in the Word, that you're not equipped. He knows that you're not complete, and he relishes that. Satan and his savage wolves, they will do anything to stop you from opening your Bible every day. Even if it's just a chapter you read, he doesn't want you to do any of those things. He'll do anything to stop you from knowing and learning and putting into practice this, where you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword, part of your armor, okay? And he definitely doesn't want you to know and learn and apply Ephesians 6:16. Oh, no, he didn't want you to have that one. You know, above all, taking the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench, say it, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Listen, we live in a dark time, in a dark world. But God's Word is living. God's Word is sure. God's Word is a light. God's Word is His Word because it is divinely inspired, the whole book of the Bible. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this Word. Father, thank you for that your Word is not only alive, but it's sure. It's our light, oh God. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. We love you. We praise you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen.
Thanks everyone for listening today. Please tune in again on Monday when Pastor Bill's study in 2 Peter will continue. Have a wonderful weekend and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.